Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you for tuning in to Building Godly and Healthy Relationships radio broadcast. I'm your host, Pastor Star Williams. We are in for another amazing episode as we continue to talk about faith in God and building our faith. Today I want to focus in more on some things that can block our faith, things that can cause our faith to become inactive and ineffective, things that we really want to avoid when we're trying to grow in our faith and build our faith in Christ Jesus. Let's open in prayer. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word that is powerful. It's effective. It is like a two-edged sword, dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It even judges and determines the thoughts and the intents of the heart, God. It's discerning, God, and effective and powerful, Lord. It does not return void. And we just thank you for your word that's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Lord, we ask that your word would lead us and guide us today into all truth by your Holy Spirit within us, Lord. And we thank you that you would teach us and open our eyes and hearts to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk, we've been talking about faith. Faith is such a huge topic, and we are really taking some time to and grow in our understanding of faith, what it is, what it isn't, how to increase it, how you can, you know, quench your own faith, et cetera. And so today I really want to talk about some things that can prevent your faith from working, that can prevent your faith from being effective. And one of those things that I believe is so huge and so powerful, the last few weeks we talked about, you know, tongues and praying in the Spirit and increasing our faith. But today we're going to do a little bit of a turn and talk about something that I believe is so important because it is really juxtaposed to our faith. It's completely counterproductive to increasing faith in God, and that is our feelings or our emotions or our, you know, even you can put in there your carnal nature or your flesh nature. You know, there is a war that really goes on within the person of, within people. And it's a war between the Spirit of God and the flesh or the carnal nature. And the Spirit of God is always going to want to do what God wants to do. It's always going to want to follow after the Word of God. It's always going to want to walk by faith and not by sight. However, your feelings are always going to walk by sight and not by faith. So I want to look at this thing called feelings and how it relates to our faith. You know, we say it all the time. I don't feel like doing it. I don't feel like doing the right thing. I don't feel like doing the thing that, you know, is the faith thing. And sometimes if you follow your feelings, then you're going to most of the time walk out of faith in God by following your feelings. So we have to learn, it's so important to learn not to go by our feelings. You know, when we wake up in the morning, the alarm goes off, or you may not use an alarm, but if you do use an alarm, the alarm goes off and you know, you're like, oh, you know, already morning time. I don't feel like getting out of bed. But how many of you know that if you follow your feelings and you don't get out of bed and go to work or get up and take care of your family or do what you have to do, it's going to be a mess. So if we follow our feelings, then we're not going to really walk after God's word. That's why we must not go after our feelings, but we must go after faith. Feelings are so fickle. Feelings are so deceptive. Feelings are so carnal nature. You know, Proverbs talks about let's look at actually, it says in Proverbs, let's look at, there's so many great scriptures that I would like to look at, but Proverbs 28 and 26, it says, whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool. Yeah, I think so. But it says, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. So if we trust in our own ways, our own mind, our own whims, our ideas and thoughts and feelings, we're foolish. The Bible says we're fools. It means we're without knowledge or without wisdom. But if we walk in wisdom, which is from God, we will be delivered. In other words, we will, you know, we will walk in the blessing and in the favor of God. But Paul, you know, describes the war that's between, that's within, you know, even within him, that's within people. In Romans chapter 7, it talks about, you know, the sin and the carnal nature. And in Romans chapter 7, it says that, we can look in verse 1. Let's see. But, well, let's get down a couple of verses to verse 5. It says, for when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit to death. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Amen. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? No. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would have not known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires. What did sin did? For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment, which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. What did? Sin. Sin that indwelt within him. Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, just, and it's good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, what is it? Sin, that it might appear sin was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal. We'll go over that again. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 7. For we know that the law is what? Spiritual, but I am what? Carnal. Sold under sin. And goes on to say, and that sin nature everyone is born with, and we have to be redeemed from through the blood of Jesus Christ and through accepting him as our Lord and Savior. So verse 15, it goes on to say, for what I am doing, I do not understand, okay? But for what I will to do, that I don't do. I don't practice what I want to do, but I practice what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin who dwells in me. What is it? It's sin. Sin is a cause. Sin is to blame. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Now underline this verse. This is key. Because so many people think, well, I just, you know, they live their life, their whole life, Sinatra motto, I did it my way. I did it my way. You know, everything, I did it my way. And they live their life based on what they want to do and based on their feelings. And that is the most selfish, unproductive, destructive life ever, is when you live based on what you want to do, based on your feelings, instead of based on God's word, instead of based on life in the Spirit of God. So catch this, Romans chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, he's clarifying that, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. That is so key. You know, it's, if we really understand this, Paul is saying, you know, there's nothing righteous in me that is in my flesh. Because he's contrary, because in a moment he's going to talk about the spirit at work and in operation within the life of the believer. Now, if you say there's nothing good in me, well, that's in your flesh. But if you have the Holy Spirit in you, there is something good in you. There is a GPS, there is a guide, there is a teacher in the Holy Spirit. There's a comforter that will lead and guide you into all truth. So he's saying, you know, in my flesh there is something good in me. For to will it's present within me. But how to do the right thing, how to perform what is good, I do not find within me. That is within my flesh. Why we can't live according to how we feel, according to our fleshly desires. Verse 19, for the good that I will do, I don't do. But the evil that I will to do, that I practice, that is in my flesh. That's in my flesh, living outside of God, living in the flesh. I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I do want to do. That is in my flesh. Now, if I do what I will not do, it is no longer I who do it. But what is it? It's sin. What is it? Sin. S-I-N. It's sin that dwells in me. It's sin that dwells in me. I find then, okay, this is his conclusion, that evil is present with me, okay, the one who wills to do good. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. That's powerful. Think about that. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I also see another law in my members, that is in my flesh, in my carnal nature. He's saying I see a law that is warring against the law of my mind. And it's bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. That's in my flesh, in my carnal nature. He's breaking it down for us to understand this, you know, this life we live as spirit beings living in a body. Paul's just breaking it down, he's saying, okay? Verse 24, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who, what can bring me hope? What is the answer to this problem, to this situation of the living within the flesh, living in a body, living in, you know, overcoming the carnal nature that is in the body, in the members of the flesh. Okay, verse 25, this is the answer. Oh, I thank God. I thank God. And I'm sure it wasn't just I thank God. I'm sure Paul was like, hallelujah, thank you, God. This is the answer, my deliverance, my hope, my empowerment, my overcoming ability in this life and the flesh. Is in and through and by only one man, only one has the answer. And I thank God that through Christ Jesus, my Lord, I have deliverance. That's how I believe Paul meant that. Through Christ Jesus, I have freedom. Through Christ Jesus, I have hope. Through Christ Jesus, I overcome sin's power in my life. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. There lies the choice. Serving with mind, the law of God, and with the flesh, the law of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me, what does that say? Free. What is freedom? What does the Bible say about freedom? It says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. I'm free through Christ Jesus. We are free through Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, right? You can't accomplish the law through the flesh. That's what we're talking about today. Living in our, you know, you can't please God living by your feelings. You cannot please God living in through your flesh. That's why God does not delight in external forms of godliness. 2 Timothy 3:5 says, he doesn't delight in a package looking and walking and talking like a Christian. He wants to know inside, are the contents, is the heart after his heart? Is the heart after him? Or is it just the package, the form, the appearance, Christian? Bible says, it says avoid such people. Avoid such people, 2 Timothy 3:5 says. So what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, and Paul knew about trying to please God through the flesh. He was the chief of trying to please God through the flesh. He had every degree you could imagine. He had every, you know, he did everything, dotted every I, crossed every T. But it wasn't until God got a hold of his heart that he was changed. And God changed him from the inside out and even changed his name to show that he was no longer the same man that he was before. He did everything according to the letter of the law, but he had lacked the spirit of the law, the motive behind the law, the heart behind God's law, which comes from loving him with all our heart and loving others. So what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did. God did, period, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. He wasn't sinful, but he came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Because we know Christ sinned, he did not sin. He was perfect, blameless, because God came himself in Christ Jesus. And so he came in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, thank God. He overcame it. He condemned it in the flesh. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So he condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Powerful. So when he said it is finished on the cross, he was the only one, past, present, future, whoever will be able to completely, the law and fulfill basically the requirement of the law. Because if you offended the law on one point, you offended the law on all points. So God came himself, did not offend the law, but condemned sin in the flesh so that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit of God. That's why it says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And that's the grace of God. That's the blessing of God, living after God, living with a repentant heart, living with a heart that says, that says and does the Word of God, that lives a life, that lives, you know, a life without saying one word, actions and attitude and behavior and manner says, I love God with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my spirit, and I love my neighbor as I love myself. That's walking after the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit. That's walking according and in line and in step with the Spirit of God. So Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, carnal nature. They live after their feelings and after their, the whims and the fickleness of what they want to do instead of according to the solid rock and foundation of the Word of God. So those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh. Those who live, you know, who conduct their lives according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You can underline that. The carnal mind is enmity against God. That's why we can't live according to our carnal mind and nature. We can't indulge our flesh because our flesh will lead us down a road that we don't want to go down, and the road that you might not be able to come back from. But God says we are to be have our minds set upon the Spirit and upon the things of the Spirit, which is life and peace. And so our minds, our thoughts, our way of thinking, our desires are set and fixed and focused on Jesus, on the Word of God, on the things of the Spirit. That's life and peace. Carnal mind is enmity against God. That you can have, there are, you know, two minds. You can have a carnal mind or you can have the mind of Christ. The Bible says we have the mind of Christ. We are to have and think like God thinks. For the carnal mind, it is not subject to the law of God. It's not submitted to the law of God. It's not yielded to the law of God, nor can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the bottom line. Those who are in the flesh, in the carnal nature, living after their feelings, living after the whims and the dictates of our society and culture and, you know, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, can't please God that way. God isn't impressed. Or if that was the case, he would have been impressed with Saul, who later became Paul. But God wasn't impressed with, you know, Saul, who was persecuting and killing Christians in the name of God. He had a form of godliness, but he denied the power of God. You know, he was just totally out of order until the day that he encountered God. God appeared to him and changed his name, changed his nature from the inside out, and he became Paul, you know, apostle of Christ, follower after God, the servant. He became the least, you know, instead of trying to, you know, reach God. He came into a place where he didn't just know about God, but he knew God. He had an encounter with the living God. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He's speaking from firsthand experience. But if you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, is the Spirit of God comfortable in your tabernacle? Is the Spirit of God at home within you? Or is the Spirit of God quenched by you and your life? And your, and does he flee? Is he present in your life? Is the Spirit of God there? Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, he is not his. Capital H, his. He does not belong to him, God. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. In other words, you're not living according to your feelings, according to the carnal nature that Paul was talking about, that was at war against the Spirit of God. That nature is now dead if Christ is in you. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The Spirit of God is the answer to us pleasing God. The Spirit of God in us is our hope to pleasing God, to living after the heart of God, to living after the Word of God, to completing and fulfilling what Christ fulfilled for us. We fulfill the law when we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. What a powerful revelation when the knowledge of what Christ has done for us and by sending his Spirit to live and dwell in us, when that just sinks in and overwhelms us, the empowerment that is available to us to live and walk after Christ, to live and walk in the pleasing God here on earth only to do the will of the Father. Lord, we thank you for your word, which is so powerful. We thank you that your word leads and guides us into all truth. We thank you, God, for quickening our bodies. We thank you, Lord God, for giving life to our mortal bodies through your Spirit who dwells within us. Continue to strengthen us where we live after your Spirit, not after the flesh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless. Success to you and to the kingdom of God.